Hello and welcome to the Consumer Goods Forum End-to-End Value Chain podcast. My name is Joelle Mbuya Leclerc and I work in the communications team. In this podcast series, we'll be hearing industry insights from experts working towards collaborative solutions that benefit the entire value chain. In this episode, we'll be hearing from Klaus Buchle, Vice President of Business Development in Europe for the venture capital firm Sapphire Ventures. He'll be sharing his perspective on the next generation technology trends that are revolutionizing consumer industries and what IT leaders need to do to help their enterprises stay responsive and competitive in today's market. Good afternoon, Klaus. Thank you for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Joelle. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you. And thanks for having me on the call. It's a great pleasure to be here.
The pleasure is ours. So, Klaus, I am really eager to hear what you have to say about how innovative technologies are fueling disruption in consumer industries. So I'm going to jump right into the first question and find out, Klaus, can you share with us the state of affairs in consumer industries as you see them today?
Well, it's a very good question, Joelle. I think consumer industries are constantly changing. And if we take a closer look at the market, we see that there are emerging pockets of substantial growth and innovation. But those growth and innovation topics are not just coming from the traditional quarters, right? For decades, the industries enjoyed stable and extended brand and product life cycles. They had strong barriers to entry and just a few truly innovative market entrants. But we see that this environment is not just changing rapidly, it's really changing very fast, right? It's already changed. So new direct-to-consumer business models and technologies are removing the barriers to entry as we've known in the past, and they're driving an influx of new capital, creating new categories of competition and new sources of growth. Not sure if you heard about a McKinsey study which came out 2 years ago, which says that, for example, from 2011 to 2015, the top 25 of food and beverage companies drove 45% of category sales, but contributed only 3% of category growth. I'm talking about growth at a 0.1% CAGR. Whereas the 20,000 companies below this top 100 drove 49% of all category growth at a 6.8% CAGR. This is a pretty big number. Wow. So while all these results, you know, they are, you know, pretty measurable in US and Australia, but I believe they can also be transferred into other market regions as well. And well, you know, large companies, they still drive the substantial proportion of those growths, but they are not driving, the real growth, which is coming from the entrants. The category growth is being driven by small and medium-sized companies. And we see this is happening across all categories. You see that in food and beverage, you see that in cosmetics, you see this pretty much everywhere. But it's not a large company, small company dynamic. You know, it's not, you know, who's been in the business as a large company, who's smaller, who's a large enterprise. It's more an innovation dynamic. And this is where venture comes in, right? In the last 10 years, and particularly in the last 5 years, we have seen more than 4,000 venture-backed startups enter the market. Can you imagine that? 4,000 wow. Venture-backed startups and backed by almost $10 billion in venture funding. And more than $7 billion of that venture funding has come in the last 5 years. Well, this is consumer products, but we also see that issue or that kind of changes in retail. Retail has never faced such change, right? Global digitization changes the way consumers are interacting and puts a lot of pressure on the traditional retail model, not only the supply model, but also on the sales model in the retail business. So the borders between brick and click, they are blurring, and consumers and customers, they always choose the experience with the least friction. So the future of shopping will be completely different. It will be defined by front runners who can adopt to innovative emerging technologies, for example, IoT, AI, machine learning, blockchain, image recognition, or consumer vision, which create a compelling personal and robust experience. So, you know, we have seen this changing, but what has changed? What has really changed? We believe the evolution of the industry had created an environment that's ripe for disruption. And you know, when you talk about venture capital, it's all about disruption, right? So 10, 15 years ago, e-commerce was only a tiny fraction of total retail sales. And the market was dominated by those large established players I was talking about earlier, with enormous power over which products were available at the shelf because there was a physical limit to the amount of shelf space that was available. But then, you know, over the event of years, e-commerce has exploded along with a massive proliferation in channels and store formats. You know, we're talking about small stores, large stores, and this proliferation has dramatically expanded available physical and virtual shelf space. And what has happened that has driven a corresponding explosion in the number of SKUs. You would not believe how many additional SKUs consumer products have thrown into the shelf over the last couple of years. And those SKUs available in the market are driving increasing complexity and also a significant degree of channel conflict. So what we're talking about right now, we're calling it a paradox of choice. The elimination of physical shelf space limitations has created an infinite or endless aisle, as we talk in the retail space, not only for large established companies, but also for smaller brands and local companies. So the answer of what's driving the majority of this disruptive opportunity is the new experience imperative. We believe only experienced brands are going to win. Experienced brands who have an innovation story, who have an innovative story to challenging the status quo and the old order by identifying and developing new ways of reaching, engaging, and serving consumers. They will win.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much, Klaus, for that. That was really insightful. And so, Klaus, what common characteristics do innovative companies share? And do you have any examples that you can share with us?
It's a very good question. I mean, I think it all comes down to three imperatives. It is flexibility, simplicity, and personalization. And the key characteristics, I would say, first of all, they must be purpose-driven. Like, take companies like Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods. You might have heard of these companies. They are responding to growing global demand for high-quality protein and sustainable and plant-based alternatives to lower carbon footprint. Just think about it. My daughter is a vegan, and with currently 8 million vegetarians in Germany, which is 10% of the population of Germany, and 1.6% vegan, which is 1.3 million of these numbers, they are exponentially growing, right? And with the exponentially growing base of millennials, it's only a matter of time these numbers will explode even more. So those comments are purpose-driven to the new market challenges. The second characteristic, I would say, those companies, they have to rethink consumer experience. I said before that, you know, innovative experience brands will be those ones who win. And they have to think of a limited choice and a maximum quality in their product portfolio. You might have heard about Casper Sleep, which is a direct-to-consumer brand mattress retailer in the United States, which recently joined the Unicorn Club. And, you know, as a venture capital company like me, I always like to talk about unicorns. Those are those companies who are having a market valuation, not a market cap, but a market valuation north of $1 billion. This company, just joined the Unicorn Club with the latest funding round. And they are reinventing the consumer experience for mattresses. They have built a digital-first brand strategy around sleep on the basis that buying a mattress was an absolutely awful consumer experience. And you know, it still is. If you go to a mattress store, it's not necessarily the nicest experience. So they have literally attacked existing market dynamics to create a new buying experience. And I always like to talk about this example. It's my favorite one. You know, talking about billion-dollar valuations, one of my very favorite one is Dollar Shave Club. Although that's a little older story, but it still holds true to today. Remember them? The company started in 2012, and they were competing in a very well-established category, dominated by a few large companies. We all know them, all of them, which had substantial more resources. And the company came to market with a new and innovative subscription-based direct-to-consumer model. They kicked off their go-to-market with a very smart marketing video that quickly went viral via social media back, that was 2012, but you could still do this today. And they were prompting 12,000 orders within 2 days of the video's release. And if you then fast forward to 2016, and that's really 3 years ago, they were acquired for $1 billion. But prior to the acquisition, how would you have defined Dollar Shave Club, right? Is it a CPG company? Is it a retailer? One might argue that it's a CPG company because it was acquired by a CPG bellwether. But that categorization might be more convenient than accurate. I would say, regardless of that, Dollar Shave Club wasn't acquired at a 5x multiple of projected revenue because it was selling more units of razors than its competition. They were really acquired based on its deep and meaningful direct relationship with the consumer and its innovative subscription-based revenue model that enabled the company to bypass all the traditional and very expensive processes that its much larger competitions relied on. So this is a pretty big step change through technology. So the third one, the third characteristic is you need to compete beyond boundaries. But we know all about these disruptors like Dollar Shave Club, Glossier, Casper, Harry's, Bobby Parker. They are all redefining the very traditional consumer products, wholesale distribution, and retail value chain. So for example, my favorite company, Dollar Shave Club, they bypassed traditional advertising in favor of social media promotion. And you didn't have to spend money with retailers to compete for shelf space or for fun promotions, right? Instead, they could invest differently on more targeted marketing, personalized experience, pricing, and direct consumer engagements. So this is a very big change of what you see from a traditional to the new disruptive model.
Great. Thank you very much, Klaus. So, the three things that we need to remember here are the companies need to be purpose-driven, they need to rethink the consumer experience, as well as compete beyond boundaries. Thank you very much, Klaus.
Absolutely.
And so there always seems to be two parts of the equation: consumer facing, like the disruptors that you've just mentioned, as well as business operations. And a lot of the general press coverage is about the sexy consumer facing developments. But a lot of the economic and business interest is on the back office business side. So what are the emerging technologies here?
Well, definitely it's the consumer facing stuff is always the easy one. But then when you talk about the supply chain for fulfillment, that's a tough one, right? So we are living in a data-driven world. And in today, as a consumer, we live in a world where everything is connected, from the products we buy, to the equipment and assets we use, to the cars we drive, the places we work, and the homes we live in. So everything is connected. Our washing machines, fitness trackers, refrigerators, you have it. And these things are not only connected, as I said, they collect and exchange data, right? Consumers have access to real-time information about the products they buy and the companies they buy from at their fingertips. The products we buy have sensors also built into them, so they can track everything from performance to temperatures and usage and consumption. Just use a Fitbit or any tracker on your wrist, and everything will be tracked. So as a result of all this connectivity, all this data, and what we can do with this data, we're seeing a sudden rise of many, many intelligent things and applications around us. And especially in consumer industries, we are seeing that, for example, artificial intelligence is becoming more prevalent than before. So let me highlight three things I believe are very crucial to stay ahead of the game. Take natural language processing, NLP, for example, which enables computers to understand human language. So advanced NLP these days, when you think Alexa, Google Home, Siri, yeah, they can process more conversational speech. Right, NLP is used to create chatbots, improve search results, and track and tag consumer sentiment via social media. Now, talking about those chatbots, and here we're talking about millennials especially, they're especially useful to retailers with the younger demographic. So there's a couple of statistics, and they're mind-boggling. If you look at this, 65% of millennials prefer interaction with bots instead of an associate, according to IBM. Can you imagine? This is crazy.
That is.
and even American Express server, which is a couple years old, but it might be even a different number now, 20% of Gen Z respondents said that they would abandon a retailer because of a slow chat response time. And I would be like this, but if I look at my kids who are in this kind of Gen Z environment, they would be like that. While 12% would leave a brand if they provided customer service only through phone or in person. That's a lot of changes. And then think about machine learning, right? Which is essentially automating the construction of all analytical models. So in lieu of coding specific instructions, the machine is trained via a trial and error process, like using vast amounts of data, enabling it to learn how to perform a given task, right? And this is the process behind things like Amazon's personalized product recommendations or Netflix recommendation system. The third one I would say is computer vision or image recognition, which allows computers to obtain information from images. For example, it enables machines to gather customer behavioral data from in-store cameras and sensors to determine when customers pick up items or when they walk out of the store without buying anything, and facilitates visual search. And computer vision can also support augmented reality with an AR camera. It can help you do a try-on feature by placing 3D rendered visuals on real-world images. So that's a lot of new technology helping you in the backend, making that front-end much easier.
Great. And so if our listeners would like to reach out to you or to Sapphire Ventures for more information, where can they contact you?
Well, the company is called Sapphire Ventures. So the your website would be www.sapphireventures.com. That's SAPPHIREVENTURES.com.
Great. Thank you very much for those details.
You're welcome.
Klaus, before we wrap up, do you have any final words?
To focus on the outcomes to be indispensable to your consumers. And don't be afraid to use innovative venture-backed emerging technologies to get there.
Perfect. That was an excellent message to wrap up our podcast today, Klaus. Thank you very, very much for joining us on our podcast.
Real pleasure, Joelle. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you very much to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of the End-to-End Value Chain podcast. And be sure to catch the next one. In the meantime, for more information about the End-to-End Value Chain initiative, please visit www.tcgfvaluechain.com.